Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get started. When we recorded the first four episodes of this season, I accidentally left the recording source as my laptop's microphone instead of our more upscale setup. This resulted in uneven audio, with me being louder and David, who sits across the table, being quieter. As a result, the audio quality in these first four episodes is less than I'm used to putting out. I used every trick I know to get something usable, and hopefully these are still listenable. This is something I care about being good, and I probably have to admit that it hurts my ego if these episodes are someone's first listen, and they think that we're always at this level. And because of my ego issues, I'm going to run this little disclaimer before the four affected episodes, and that will allow me to get over myself enough to publish these. On to the show.
Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to continue on looking at some NC2A changes, or changes to the two umpire mechanics to give you just some more guidance about some places that they want you to be. So last time we talked about some more general things, but today we're going to talk strictly about some play coverage changes and positioning on those changes.
Yeah, great. And we'll start with fly ball coverage for one of these situations. And the plate umpire for fly ball coverage, two bullets here, with runners on base, be aware of coverage of all fly balls. And the plate is responsible for all base touches if the base umpire chases. So let's talk a little bit about chasing, I guess we start with the first bullet, right? Be aware of coverage of all fly balls. Yes, very much so. Two umpire system, the expectation from my pregame with my partner, if I'm the plate, the expectation with my partner at the beginning of the day where we're talking about our pregame, I'm going to say, boy, it's only 200 feet, buddy, I can see him. I got it, right? Some exceptions to that, when you umpire with some of the umpires that do three person, they're more comfortable chasing. Right? There's a lot more chasing in a three umpire system than there is in two.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if you're on somebody that's very comfortable in three person and you're doing two person today and the ball goes directly over their head, right? So there's nobody on base and the ball flies directly over their head. You know, you'll see those folks would be more prone to chase that ball. Go out there, get that fair foul, get that diving catch in foul territory, trouble ball at the line. So especially one that's peeling, you know, you see the right hand batter peel one out over first base and let's go see if it's going to be fair foul. If we're going to get a diving catch on that, that's an okay one. And you really only have one, the plate umpire that only has one runner to deal with. It's the batter runner. The challenge there, what I would be very cautious about if you're the plate umpire and you want chases in that situation, if it does end up being a fair ball, you should probably try really hard to get north of the pitcher's plate.
Yeah.
Because you are going to get a possible play at second base.
Yeah, it could be bang, bang.
It could be bang, bang.
You don't want to call that from south of the pitcher's plate.
Right. And for that reason, and the fact that, I'm healthier than I have been in the past and lighter than I have been in the past, me getting north of the pitcher's plate to call something a double two-person mechanic, really rather not do that. Let's let the base umpire do that. So the change here, or the guidance that we're getting from the sub is that if that umpire chases, you are responsible for the touch of all bases for sure. And what about the base umpire for fly ball coverage, Pete?
Yeah, so with runners on, the base umpire has zero fly ball chase responsibilities and is permitted to chase to right field only with no runners on. So this is kind of what you just said.
I guess I should have read that.
If you just glance ahead slightly. So they're saying, so this is from the super umpires, like we have the right here saying you have zero responsibilities. If you want to, you know, this whole chase thing, they're saying you have zero responsibilities. The only time you even should be going is maybe if you're on the first base side and it goes right over your head.
I mean, I would say could be going. The word they used is permitted. So not
permitted. Good, right. Good. Yep.
The only time you're allowed to go is right field only with no runners on. So that's perfect. And then my advice to the plate umpire still holds true. If they do that chase, it's a fair ball. Be ready to make that call.
Yeah, hustle. I mean, you should be able to beat the person. You're running the straight line between two bases and they're running, you know, the runners are running the two long sides of the triangle.
They're running the hypotenuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, big words today. It's 10:30. All right. So the next one says, with no runners on and a ball hit to the outfield and not caught. So no runners on, ball hit to the outfield and not caught. Two-person mechanics, reminder, two-person mechanics. What's the plate supposed to do?
So they should move into the infield in the direction of the flight of the ball. When the ball is then declared a no catch, move into the holding zone between home plate and third base. Make all calls at third base and home plate using an angle that creates an optimal view. So Ball's in the air, not caught. You're moving into the infield in the direction of the flight of the ball. It's describing a situation where it's not caught. You're moving into the infield prior to it be caught or not caught. You don't want to call that catch from behind the plate. That's lazy.
Right. Yeah.
Get your butt out there as close as you can so that you can see it in a good angle. Stop and see it. If the ball is not caught, so no catch, whether you need to indicate anything or not, you're going to move to the holding zone between home and third, and you're making those calls at third, and you're making those calls at home using an angle that you should.
That's right. Exactly right, Pete. So one thing I guess I would say here, you know, pretty recently we've changed, and the plate umpire has third. Right? Mm-hmm. So we used to be really proud of being able to make that run as a base umpire all the way around and, you know, have your left foot in the paint to call that play at third base. You don't have to hustle that much anymore. Plate umpire is going to be there for you. So I guess I would also say this, know that you're moving into that call at third base only if there's going to be a call there. And so here's a tip. Excuse me. You're going to be running. So if we follow this through for a second, the batter hits the ball, it goes to the outfield, plate umpire, you run the direction the ball is flying. It didn't say this here, but remember, get a parallel path. Don't run right at it, right? Get a parallel path so that you can see. Once the ball is uncaught, you are headed to the holding zone between home plate and third base. That is outside of the diamond, right? So you are outside of the diamond. If that play is going to come to third, step into the diamond from the holding zone. Don't mm-hmm. run diagonally at third base, you know, some of it in the outfield or in foul territory and setting and crossing the baseline to home plate. Don't do that. Get into the diamond to get that angle on the edge of the call there and start up toward the ball. Now, or up toward the plate. Jiminy Christmas. Base. It will use the base for that one at third. Now, if you're going to call the leading edge, that's the movement that you want to have there. And most of these, I think that's what you're going to, that's the best place you're going to be because of where the ball is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing through the play, for one, with the ball coming from the outfield, probably not the right place to be. So I'm recommending leading edge. If you've been to a clinic where a more experienced clinician tells you differently, then do that. If your assigner tells you differently, then do that. But David's advice would be get that angle on the leading edge and then close the distance to make that call. Remember, it's going to be a tight play.
All right.
And then so, yeah, for the base, they want you to move into fair territory outside the diamond unless a ball to right field dictates coming into the diamond. Talked about that a minute ago. Make all calls at first and second base. As the batter runner approaches second base with the ball still in the outfield, move inside the diamond behind the batter runner and visually confirm that the plate umpire is prepared to take the batter runner to third base. A little bit of crewness there.
That's right. Yeah, I love that. There's a difference here. So for our umpires that do a lot of three person, if you are U1 and U3 chases one, so now you're in a two umpire system. U3 chased, you're now down to two umpires. In that case, for three person, the U1 and now the only base umpire is going to remain outside the diamond and sprint ahead of the runner. Get to second before the runner does. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you've got that call there. It's likely going to come there. You know, that's where the play is going to be. You need to get there. However, for this episode, we're talking about two-person mechanics. In this document, we're talking about two-person. And this is one where there's going to be a double. Let that stay out. Let that batter runner get past you and then fall in behind them and catch them.
Yeah.
Because there still might be a play over there. But that's the mechanic here for that. All right, perfect. Making all calls at first and second. Plate umpire is prepared to get to the batter runner to third. If the plate umpire is not in the holding zone and paying attention and getting up to third base as the base umpire, what do you do, Pete?
You go
to third.
Yeah, right? You get your butt there.
And what else do we do? We have now deviated. When we deviate, we
communicate.
So we are yelling, I've got three, I've got three, I've got three. You do not want the plate umpire from 35 feet away going, oh crap, I was supposed to get three, safe as you're banging.
Yeah.
You don't want that at all. All right. So I'm going to take the next one because it's the most, well, anyway, we'll just do it. So for a runner on first base, there are no changes.
There you go. Boom. I think you nailed that one. That was well done. This is professional podcasting. It's season 4. You can tell this veteran leadership over there.
Made zero mistakes.
From the captain's chair. Very nice.
Mistakes on that.
Very nice.
All right. Runner on second, hit to the infield. So runner on second, hit to the infield. Let's set the stage a minute. And I found this to be something when I was taking my initial umpire course from Mike, and we were watching all of the scenarios that came in the book. I think Linda was helping to present the videos that were coming, and it's like, okay, runners at first and second and no outs, and they, you know, and it's like, I need to catch up with what's going on here. So this one is a runner on second, and there's going to be a hit to the infield. So if there's a runner on second base, two umpire system, the base umpire is going to be set up between second and third base, 15 feet. In that 30 feet, that's 15 feet between the two bases.
Yes.
Probably closer to second base.
Yes.
Okay. So with that runner on second and hit to the infield, the plate's responsibilities are?
To move to first baseline extended to watch or help with the initial play at first, and then move to the holding zone for that potential next call. Make all secondary or subsequent calls on R2 at third, if the initial play is made on the batter runner, and make all calls on R2 and batter runner at home. So R2 being, in this case, there's a runner on second, but there also could have been a runner on first. So in case there are two runners on the diamond in addition to the batter runner, because that's because they do differentiate. Make all calls on R2 and batter runner. So you have all those calls.
Yeah, they do. Not see anybody at first, though, necessarily.
Well, that's who.
So it's just, it could be either of those, because that would be R1, R2, and batter runner. We'd have three runners.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right? But yeah, I like it. And here's a really cool thing. So first play on the infield
belongs to the base umpire.
Yeah, belongs to the base. And it's saying here, make all secondary or subsequent calls on R2 at third if the initial play is made on the batter runner. So you need to get busy. Mm-hmm. So the shortstop got the hit, right? So the hit goes to the shortstop. She came in, she turned to look to hold the batter or to hold the runner at second.
Yeah.
And she throws to first. You need to go, rah, I've got to call at third, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they're saying here, get to the holding zone for that potential next call. This is timing. You better be on your toes.
Because you still do have a responsibility. Bullet one, you have a responsibility to help with that initial play at first.
That's right.
So you're still looking for that pulled foot, looking for that swipe, looking for whatever else you might be looking for your positioning to help. And then you also now need to, she bang, bang, goes back across the diamond because that girl's a little slow getting her jump after the throw and they're going to third with it.
You better be on the hop here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because that's, she's going to, yeah, you better be on the move. But I like it. I like it. Make that secondary or subsequent call on R2 at third, and then make all calls at home. Because remember, we do not rotate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two umpire system, the base umpire does never rotate home. So you have all calls at home. Love it. So in this scenario with this runner on second and the hit to the infield, the base umpire is to make all calls on the initial play on the batter runner at any base or R2 at second or third. Make all calls on the initial play on the batter runner at any base or R2 at second or third if that's the initial play.
Yes.
Because the R2 at third for a subsequent play belongs to the plate now.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe a little clarification needed there. As written, make all calls on the initial play on the batter runner at any base. Okay. So if the batter runner gets to third, you're calling it there too. Or R2 at second or third base, as long as it's the initial play. So yeah, I think that's wording confused me a bit there, but it's all about the initial play.
Yeah, because R2 is starting at second. So R2 can't have an initial play at first.
That's right.
So the only other places they could be are second or third or home. And we already know who has home. That's the plate. So they're just telling you anywhere that initial play could be made on R2, because he's only second or third, is you. And then you have initial runner, batter runner everywhere, which is good. This is a good call out here because previously we talked about with nobody on, you know, you've got the plate umpire handling third, right? Or even a person at first, right? Or no, runner first, no change. Yeah. So we were talking about nobody on. We said we have third. This is a reminder because that guy's going to be home because there's a run on second. Plate umpire is already at home for that second. There are two coming home. So they're there. That means you, the base umpire, need to worry about that person getting to third, the batter runner.
Yeah, it's the initial play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my suggested edit to this would be make all calls on the initial play on the batter runner at any base or make all calls on the initial play at second or third on R2.
Yeah.
So just always making sure it's that initial
play. So the only initial play you would not make is if the initial play was on R2 at home.
That's right. Yeah, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Really, we got a bobble and it's really fast
little runner. Yep.
A really fast little runner. All right, cool. So runner on second, fly ball line drive to the infield and the ball is caught.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
So we got the plate umpire moving in direction of the flight of the ball. If R2 advances to third, be prepared to assist on a play at third on R2. Make all calls on R2 at home plate so that there's no difference there. We're just specifying that stays solid, same as a ground ball.
Yeah.
Plate moving direction of the flight of the ball. If it's a line drive, you're not getting far. If it's pop fly, you can obviously get yourself a little better. And if R2 is going to third, which it is a fly ball, it says ball is caught. So we're talking about a ball caught in the infield. Or fly ball. So they're talking about fly ball because this is fly ball slash line drive to the infield. Are we talking about a fly ball to the infield as well only, or are they seeing fly ball to the outfield? Is this covering? No, because the next scenario is fly ball line drive to the outfield. So yeah, we're not talking about a lot of, that's why it's really just if in that runner to third. Somebody catches a pop to the infield and that runner goes 2-3. That's crazy.
And so then the base umpire's responsibility is make all calls at second base and all initial calls at third base. Move to a straight line position to the ball and R2 to see the tag up. So tag up responsibility belongs to the base. And if they tag up and go to third, it is their call. Base umpire's call at third base. So the initial play, in my mind, would be the
catch.
But they really mean here that after the ball's caught, whatever happens next. If it gets to third, it's yours because the plate umpire is here to assist you and then make them only at home plate. So third base belongs to the base umpire in this city.
On a pop fly or line drive to the infield.
Yeah. So what about if it's to the outfield and the ball is caught?
So in that case, again, runner on second. We're starting runner on two. The plate umpire moves to the holding zone to make the call on the catch. So it's a little different. He's not going straight parallel to the ball running out there. He's going to that holding zone. If R2 advances third, commit to third, making all calls on R2 at third base and home plate.
And the base umpire is to move to a straight line position to the ball in R2 to see the tag up and make all calls at second base.
So base still got that tag up. So make yourself, you're putting yourself in a way that you can see it, with the ball and everything else and making calls at second base. Yeah. And then if there's another one there off the next page.
Okay. Now, if the plate umpire is unable to cover third base due to the location of the fly ball, be prepared to take R2 to third. It's a good point.
Yeah, say the ball goes right field and they're kind of more leaning that way and they can't get back over.
Yeah, exactly. And also then a good point to say, how do I keep this straight in my mind? The fly ball line drive. So I'm a base umpire, got a runner at second base. I got a fly ball line drive to the infield. The call at third is mine if she tags up and takes off. If it's to the outfield, the call at third is the plate's. But I need to be ready to help out if the plate umpire got stuck.
So the plate, it says move to the holding zone to make a call on the catch. Which holding zone? Not the one over third between home and third, I assume.
No, it would have to be home and third because they're going to third to make the call.
Okay, so then how would you be out of position then for unable to cover third due to the location of the fly ball?
So that's a really interesting.
I assume they meant the holding zone maybe in front of the pitcher's plate. Or, didn't we talk about there was an area there?
There is a holding zone there in the three-person mechanic.
Okay.
For the plate umpire. I can't picture in my mind's eye why the position of the fly ball to the outfield would keep me from going to the holding
zone. Yeah, because if they told you to go to the holding zone, you seem like you're in a good spot for third base. The only way I was picturing it was if I ran myself towards right field in order to see something. And maybe you still do on a one where the ball's peeling or down.
Yeah, I think you have to keep in mind your base umpire is over in the quote unquote C, right? So they're on the shortstop side of the diamond. And if you've got one that's on the line, right, it's going to be a fair foul call first and then a catch, no catch call. Mm-hmm. You didn't get very far in the holding zone. And if that girl tags up, so now it's deep right field, let's say, you're watching for fair foul, you didn't get to the holding zone.
Yeah, you've got yourself probably on the line so you can see
exactly.
Respected
so now, line. Hey, based on how you got to say, I've got three, right? So I've got, if she's fouling.
Yep. Yeah, especially there. Yep.
Yeah, she's coming. And that just reminds me, I just have to say it. Reminds me of one of the reels that I saw came across, and it was actually Mike at the plate and had some action that kept him blocked or locked up at home plate, and then looked up and it's like, well, the call at third is mine, but love it if my partner went.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So Mike had to sprint to get into position because he had been locked up, and it would have been a good opportunity for that base umpire to help him out. because he was stuck on the field.
Okay. So actually, thought we might get through some of these scenarios in this episode, but we're running along here. So I think we're going to cut it here. Help the editors for this episode. Keep it down. And then we'll just break the rest of this until next time.
Oh, that sounds great. And for our listeners, just so you know, Pete does a fantastic job of editing our podcast, and we much appreciate it.
So, oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we did have someone ask before, like, oh, why do you guys have to cut it off? Like, we're enjoying listening with this, because we appreciate that kind of feedback. But it does have more to do with A, keeping it, trying to sometimes keep them commute-sized to a certain degree, and also, yeah, the editing.
Yeah, we don't use AI. We use Pete, you know,
Your AI, we use PS.
Yeah, the PS AI. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep, until next time.